Hello, my name's Eli.
Hello, my name's Daniel.
So we'll start with you, Eli. Could you tell us a bit about your story and your experience?
Of course. In 2004, I had been living quite a reckless lifestyle. Like, I was a competitive volleyball player, played a lot of Australia, state team, etc. And I was looking forward to having a somewhat positive career. When I was in my teens, I started living pretty recklessly. Drugs, alcohol, wasting money on cars, really wasting my time. And when I was 24, I mistakenly drove my stepfather's car into a tree, or into two trees on Cherry Gardens Road. It's a windy road in the hills. It was a rainy night. It was wet and I was showing off. And I spent 2 weeks in intensive care, in and out of natural and induced comas. I spent 2 months all up at Flinders Hospital. Then I spent 9 months at Hampstead Rehabilitation Centre, learning how to walk, talk, eat, shave, shower, all of that. Everything a person has to live. And I then had to go home to live with my parents, which also was never something I planned on doing at that stage of life. And while I was there, I had a further 11 months of like formal home-based rehab. So, yeah, it took me about 2 years until I was able to live sort of independently.
Reflecting back on that time, how's this experience changed you?
Well, it's actually, as much as many might find this surprising, on a lifetime sort of plan, I guess it's ended up being a good thing. I don't recommend it. It's a pretty traumatic pathway to take to get to the result that I'm living. I guess, yeah, I always could have been this person, but I needed a little wake-up call along the way. So it's actually made me appreciate everything more, take much less for granted. I've seen how hard it is on other people. I've seen how much my actions can affect other people. And so I'm really careful with what I do now. Try and protect people around me. I guess I'm nicer. I'm much more appreciative of the emergency services and what they go through. Yeah, I'm much more appreciative of the first world country, 21st century environment I exist in, because I have all the services and research available to me to help me get back to being the best I could be.
And it's led you to do what I'm sure is some really rewarding work, which we will talk about a bit more later on. But if we could turn to you, Daniel, could you now share your experience with your journey till now?
Well, I was living on the York Peninsula working for a pro fisherman, and living a bit of a bad boy life and riding motorbikes all the time. And I was into racing motorbikes as well. And then I had my car crash in 2017 and got a bad brain injury and worked hard and nicknamed myself the Rule Follower. Worked hard and hard and harder and finally got to where I am now. And now I've just become a sole parent to my two daughters as well.
So listening to your stories, it's kind of, you went down similar paths to take you to now. And you know each other. You met through your work at Hampstead, yeah. Eli. To start us off, could you tell us a bit about Hampstead?
I was at Hampstead for 9 months. And they really, it is where you need to be, because I can remember I went on the same bed I was in Flinders. I just wheeled my bed into an ambulance, no lights and sirens. And just to transport me out there, when I rocked up, I really couldn't move. I couldn't roll over. I couldn't really control my arms and legs. I couldn't do anything. Yeah, slowly taught my brain through lots of help, through guidance and therapies, and taught my brain to reconnect with the parts of my body that I needed to do things, then teach my muscles to respond to my brain correctly and do what they're told. It's an amazing place. I can't believe. Yeah, I didn't know it existed. Why would you know? You know.
Yeah, unless you have an experience of someone needing it, or you needing it yourself. Yeah.
And I remember, one day I was actually breaking the rules. I'd gone down to get my own iced coffee out of the fridge. I was on walking frame, I say I was breaking the rules because I didn't yet have my quote-unquote hallway license. I wasn't approved by the nurses to walk around by myself. And I stopped and looked around and thought, actually, I think I'm able to piece all this together. I've had a car crash. I've rocked up here. Before that, I was angry. I just wanted to go home. It didn't compute that I couldn't just go home. And this is the first time I was able to stop and look around. I wasn't being wheeled in a hallway on a wheelchair. I wasn't on a bed. I wasn't being wheeled somewhere. I could stop and look around and thought, actually, this is where I need to be. I'm lucky to have all this happening to me. I can lose the attitude and start being nice to these people. I'm sure that the staff were thrilled I had that realization.
So, Daniel, you explained that you worked hard and hard and hard. You were the rule follower.
Yeah.
Did you have this a similar kind of moment that made you realize, like, you have a chance to kind of to take all that work?
Pretty much when I met him, it made me realize that if I work hard, I can end up being something better, you know? And I just worked hard. Luckily, I've got good parents and they helped me as well. But other than that, all my old friends are gone. Everyone else I knew is gone. So it started fresh again. And lucky to have Hampstead. Hampstead's like a wonderful place. Like, it's unbelievable.
You're a mentor there now, Eli.
I am, yes.
Could you tell us about that experience and what that means to you?
It's really one of the big things I live for. I guess I had just pondered it for years of just maybe just going back out there and spending time with patients in the beds, in the rooms, whatever. Didn't really have anything formal planned. I just thought it'd be nice to go along, but you can't just go along and hope there's people who can handle talking to you. There's a bit of a pathway between how I know Kate Dawes, who's a social worker there, and her husband's a firefighter, and I was working with the fire service, and the stars sort of aligned, and I ended up out there one day presenting, and I spoke to her afterwards and said, Kate, is there any way we could, you know, organise sessions or something, I could come out and spend time with people? And around that same time, another gentleman who worked for the Road Awareness Program with the fire service also wanted to approach me about going out there and public speaking. I said, we might have a job for you. And between the three of us, it all sort of worked out that the peer support program was invented.
And so how have you seen this change people in Hampstead?
Oh, good question. I like to think that I get more smiles out of them than the rest of the day would entail. I think that feeling good and laughing and having laughing moments is just it's a beautiful thing to cherish, and they're really hard to come by when you're in Biru and for your family as well. I like to think that the mentoring sessions are a highlight of the patients' days. You know, all their other sessions, while the staff might be great, the staff are really friendly, they know what they're doing, it's a very client-focused environment. I guess they can just relax a bit with me, just let it go how it goes.
And for you, Daniel, what did it mean to have somebody working with you that kind of understood where you were coming from and
exactly
some of the things?
It made you feel more relaxed, happier. I used to count down the days to when I'd get to see him next, you know. I liked all my therapies, but it's only so much you can take of laying in a bed with nurses around you, you know, and not being able to do anything. I was in an electric wheelchair, so I couldn't really go up and walk around or anything. So it was just good to see someone like him, yeah.
So what's involved in the program itself?
Just spending time with patients who are, I guess, struggling with the days and struggling to get an idea of what the rest of their life's going to be like. Part of our chats is, I don't say as specifically as this, but it's sort of explaining that this isn't the end of your life. While your pathway might have diverted, it can get back to what can be a very satisfying place for you to live in. No two acquired brain injuries are the same. So some people might or just need the banter, the one-on-one sort of. A lot of Daniel and I's time was really kind of man's man, just banter. I was always cracking jokes, sometimes at him. Whereas some of the patients might require things more specific, like things that worked for me physically, moments that I had. And, like, you know, I can remember a lot of times where I was struggling with something and the actual techniques or pathways or systems that I used to overcome that I can then relate what worked for me. And I'm not saying I can't give them any advice, tell them what to do. That's not my job. I just talk about things that work for me, and even sounds a bit bad, how to feel about certain things. But the way I sort of chose to see the positives, if you can really focus on the positives, it gives you more incentive to continue to work hard.
Yeah, so kind of encouraging people to have that positive outlook.
Yeah, absolutely.
About what they're experiencing. Is that a difficult thing to kind of hear from someone, to say, like,
if they don't know, like, if they haven't been there before, yeah, it's really hard to hear. Because all the doctors and nurses and stuff can tell you you're going to be fine, you're going to be okay, just work hard and stuff. But until you hear it from somebody, like, that's actually been through it, then it helps lots.
Mm, you can see where you can end up.
Yeah.
Of course. So how has the program evolved since it began to now? Has it changed at all? Or
since it started off with me and the gentleman that I mentioned, Lockie Miller, we have actually taken on board two new mentors, both females, because there's a gap. I guess people are pretty vulnerable at the times that we see them. And for some people, just the gender thing might be a factor. And like, it's not up to us whether we see a male or a female, but it can be up to the client. The client might not feel as comfortable. It's completely fair enough.
Do you think that that's why this kind of mentoring program works so well for you, Daniel, that Eli was someone you could really relate to in that way?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it was worked out perfect, really. Someone, you know, he became a friend straight away. I might not have been his friend, but he was my friend straight away. So
you took your time, but you got there in the end.
That's right.